Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th. Spectators can find event info such as start times, race routes, and where to watch, as well as volunteer opportunities at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is the final day of Iowa Week. All week long, we've been exploring the question, is this home? Throughout this hour, I'll be talking to people who have moved to Iowa from somewhere else in the country or somewhere else in the world about how they found a home here in Iowa. Or not. First, Rochelle Chase moved a lot as a child, and for a long time, she chose to have a nomadic lifestyle as an adult. But somehow, against all odds, she found a home here in Iowa thanks to a ghost town. Chase is a writer of romance novels and two nonfiction books about Buxton, Iowa, a fully racially integrated coal mining community that thrived in the early part of the 20th century, Lost Buxton and Creating the Black Utopia of Buxton, Iowa. Chase lives in Ottumwa, but given her nomadic past, it seems strangely appropriate that I went to meet her outside the Johnson County Historical Society in her home away from home, an RV she bought to travel the country. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you? Happy rainy Sunday.
I know.
It was a soggy day outside, but we made ourselves comfortable in the back of the RV and sat down to chat. So, Rochelle, we are here in your home away from home, your RV, that you bought to travel around. You've been doing a lot of speeches about Buxton. So this was creating a home that you can take with you?
It was twofold. It was, yes, creating a home that I could take with me as I traveled to different locations, because sometimes they're far away. You know, Ottumwa was not exactly the best centrally located place to live. So it's like I can spend the night, you know, when I go far away. Then also my family is now, for the first time ever, they're all in Arizona. So it's like now I can go there and spend time with them. Like when winter comes a little bit, I'm kind of liking the snowbird idea here. So maybe a few months out of the year, I can go spend some time with them.
So many people spend their lives searching for home, and you had really decided that that was not something you needed. Tell me more about that mindset that led you to live so many different places.
Well, I think it was just the way I was raised. I had lived in 14 different schools by the time I graduated from high school. And then when I became an adult, I loved kind of that new, you know, new places, new things to learn, new people, new sites, etc. So I just kind of continued that when I was an adult. And I lived in South America. I decided, okay, I've never lived outside of the country. So I picked up and moved there. I've lived, you know, I think I've had 12 different addresses as an adult. And so home is very fluid for me. It's like wherever I'm living right now, that's how I had considered home.
A lot of people probably feel envious of the idea of, you know, I can live anywhere I want to. And very few people would think Iowa would be on the list of anywhere I want to live.
Or Ottumwa. I like Ottumwa, but people have said, you know, when I tell them in Iowa, it's like, well, where do you live? Ottumwa? They're like, Ottumwa? Why did you pick Ottumwa? Even people in Iowa are like, well, of all the places in Iowa, you know? So, yeah, I get that question, you know, a lot, like Iowa, because I had never heard of it either before moving here.
Before you came to Iowa, you were living out in Vermont?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I was searching for the place I wanted to live that had a lower cost of living than the Bay Area where I was at, and I could take more time off and write. And so I was in Vermont, and I loved Vermont. It was like the trees, the mountains, the rivers, everything. It's like there was beauty when you just turned a corner. It's like everywhere you went. And there was only 700,000 people in the whole state, so there was never any traffic, never any congestion, and I just loved organic products everywhere. You know, everybody was into exercise, etc. So that was my dream place to live, right? And then my friend Lee, who introduced me to Ottumwa and to Iowa, we had become friends way back in 2000, and she'd been trying to get me to move to Iowa forever. And I'm like, no, I don't know. But she'd also introduced me to Buxton, and I was researching Buxton every time I would visit her. And, you know, she kept saying, well, you could write about Buxton if you move here. And I'm like, yeah, I know I would like that, but I don't know. She's like, well, just come and look at a house. So then I came when I was in Vermont. Housing deals kept falling through for different reasons. Or I found the perfect house and it was $350,000. And I'm like, you know what? That means I have to work. I'm trying to go to lower cost of living so I don't have to work as much. So anyway, I come here. I find a house that's almost identical to the one in Vermont. And I think, yes, for like $165,000. I'm like, okay, yes, I can write about Bucks and I can live here. It's not Vermont, but you know what? I can make it work. And so that house deal fell through because the appraisal came under $20,000 and then they didn't want to sell it. So I'm like, oh, so then I took my second choice and yeah, it's okay. But I'm like, okay, now I'm in a house I don't really want. And I'm like, yeah, I'm in Iowa. I don't know about Iowa. And gosh, I can write about Buxton, but there's Vermont. So I looked at Iowa as kind of like the arranged marriage, and Vermont was like that passionate fling, that thing you always want. And so I would always compare Iowa to Vermont. It's like, oh, but yeah, this is good, but it's not Vermont. And so fast forward to I research Buxton, Lost Buxton comes out in 2017. I'm getting out and about. I'm getting to know people. I'm getting to know, like I have said in the past, it's like not only people that were dead because, you know, researching Buxton, but people that are like alive in Iowa. And the reception, you know, the fact that everybody was so excited about Buxton and just as enthused about it as I was. And then hearing different stories people had about their life and or connections and such to Buxton. And then getting to know people outside of Buxton. And then as I would drive to, you know, all these back roads throughout Iowa and the rolling hills, and I'd see the cornfields and the different colors. And I was like, wow, this is nice. And still more people here, but I never run into traffic and I rarely, you know, have any congestion of any kind. And then of course the people here in Iowa are just so different in terms of so nice. I've had experiences with people here that are positive that I've never had anywhere else. And so long story short, for the first time, I started to really get to know a place that I've lived in. And that was like a first. I have never gotten to know the history of places I've lived in and the people as much as I've gotten to know the people here in Iowa.
In writing about Buxton, you know, you have researched this town that was in some ways a utopia, mm-hmm. in a sense, because it was a fully racially integrated community where equality was a reality in the first part of the 20th century. Now you are in the 21st century and you are a Black woman moving to Iowa, and Iowa is not a particularly diverse state. You had lived in places that were more diverse, although I don't think Vermont qualified.
No.
So was there sort of this dissonance in your mind between this ghost town that you had really fallen in love with the history of it and the people who lived there, and the reality of living in Ottumwa, Iowa in the 2010s?
Yeah. Well, first of all, that was the thing that drew me to Buxton. The whole story was because I couldn't believe. I just kept trying to see, is this really real? You know, that this town really existed here. And at that time, you know, the state was 99.7% white or foreign born. And so I was just like, is this really real? And I'm like, okay, yeah, it's real. Okay, did people really get along? You know, really? Yeah, they did. So it was like this, especially for that time in 1900. So that was the first draw. Then me coming here and then moving to Ottumwa, it's like, yes, there's not a really large African-American population there, just like there isn't, you know, in Iowa. This is not the first time, though, I've lived somewhere where there's not a large African-American population. But there was some concern, especially, you know, if I'm driving and I see, you know, I'm like the truck in front of me is in front of me and I see these, you know, two Confederate flags, you know, in the truck. And that was a little disconcerting. I mean, it didn't have to go far. I mean, I'm just out and about. And I think, oh, my goodness, you know, that's a little, I don't see that, you know, in other towns. But I have not had any negative experiences. There's been a few things that have been, you know, questionable. But overall, it hasn't affected me negatively.
You mentioned moments of kindness that really did make you feel connected here. And you shared some of those. You recently did the Des Moines Register Storytellers right. program, and you shared a few of those moments. But can you share a couple, or just pick one, that maybe really surprised you, but made you start looking at your surroundings a little bit differently?
Well, let me just say one thing before I answer that. It wasn't necessarily the one thing that happened here that I think made me think, okay, Iowa's a great place. This is home. I think it was, ironically, when I went back to Vermont, because when I was doing my research here in here about Buxton, I found out that the Buxtons were from Vermont. They had moved here from Middletown Springs. So I'm like, well, that's ironic. I could have been researching that whole year I lived there if I'd known. But so I go back to Vermont and to give a talk, because I'd met the family members from descendants of the Buxtons, and I got to go to their family reunion and talk about Buxton. And I was there. They were really nice. Everybody was really kind. And I was looking around at the state, and I'm like, oh, this is really pretty. But I didn't have that same feeling of nostalgia that, oh my gosh, I wish I were here. And I had stopped comparing. When I returned there, I realized I wasn't even any longer comparing Vermont to Iowa anymore. I was totally in living in Iowa. And so that was when it hit me that, you know, this is home, was because I didn't have the urge. Yes, it was still gorgeous, but I've had so many experiences here in Iowa that I never would have had, I don't think, in Vermont or other places, that I didn't even feel like, gosh, I wish I'd moved to Vermont.
Rochelle Chase, thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Thank you for having me, Charity.
Rochelle Chase lives in Ottumwa, although she might call Buxton, Iowa, her true home. We'll have more stories of finding home in Iowa to come this hour. It's not easy for everyone. We have a couple of comments along those lines. Elizabeth in Iowa City says, "We came from living our whole lives in Florida. Iowa has not really felt like home. It feels like people are rooted in their hometown friends, and we've always felt like outsiders. Florida has a transient population, so people were always open to making new friends. Iowa's social culture is just different than what we're used to. That's really the only way I can explain it." We also heard from Beth in Ames. She says, "I grew up in Massachusetts and went to Alaska for a semester in college and immediately felt like I had found home. I've lived in Iowa for 7 years now, and it doesn't feel like home. I always feel like an outsider. I don't identify with the landscape or the people, even though there are many examples of each that I love. I was surprised how culturally different it felt when we first moved here, and I guess I've just never adjusted." On the other hand, we heard from Mondo in Davenport, who said, "I came to Iowa the first time to meet a woman I matched with in eHarmony, and it felt like home right away. From the lawyer I sat with on Amtrak, who commuted to Chicago during the week, to the many other people I've met since, Iowa has been a warm and welcoming state. And the woman and I, we got married the following year, and we've been married for 10 years now." More stories of finding or not finding a home in Iowa to come as we wrap up Iowa Week, Is This Home? On Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today is the final day of Iowa Week, and all week long we've been asking the question, is this home? In a variety of different ways. Today, we're talking with people who have moved to Iowa looking for a new home. And right now, I'm in one of two Sudanese community centers in Iowa City. I've come here to meet Shihabuddin Ali, who moved to Iowa City in 2003 from Dallas, Texas. He's originally from Sudan, and he lives here with his wife and his three children. Shihabuddin, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you so much. It's a great honor to be on my favorite radio.
So you moved here from Dallas, Texas. What brought you to Iowa?
Well, maybe a variety of reasons, but most importantly, education. My wife and I came here, and the main factor was education. And maybe the second one was like the environment we heard about. And the third one, maybe it was quicker to get into like government programs, which, you know, goes back to the purpose of education, so we could pursue our education.
So it was easier to deal with bureaucracy here in Iowa than it was in Dallas, Texas. You said hearing about the environment here. Did you know people who already lived in Iowa City before you moved here?
Absolutely. And I think this is not only my case, but for almost everybody who comes here, they already know at least one person or a family or families. So before they move in here, they already know what's going on here. And they have you know, maybe enough idea to decide. That's why they come here.
So you knew you could have a support network when you moved here?
Yeah, absolutely. And most importantly, I mean, the main reason, I think, like, just for, like, most friends or most people I came to know is education, not only for themselves, but for their kids. And the safe environment, they heard about, they hear about it. Just imagine somebody who is, having family and kids in big cities like Los Angeles, New York, Houston. And I'm not gonna shame these cities, but this is just reality. They, when they hear about the safety and the environment, people tell them about it. They just decide to come to raise their kids and let them go to much better education in our system.
When you arrived in Iowa City, you had been in Dallas, Texas, which is a much bigger city. What were your first impressions here?
Well, just maybe going back, I'm from Sudan and I'm from a rural area. That just gave me like impression I'm just going back to my village, because I went to college in the capital city of Khartoum and I'm originally from a rural area. So coming from Dallas to Iowa City just gave me the impression that I'm just going back to, like, roots.
We're here at one of the Sudanese community centers, and you chose for us to meet here because this is a place where you do feel at home. Can you tell me a little bit about how you felt welcomed into this community?
Well, to tell you the truth, back then, Sudanese community was much smaller, like 16 years ago. And it was much, much cohesive, you know, kind of people were much closer. So coming from that kind of spread out or scattered community to this very close community, it didn't take me long to adjust to the system and to adjust to know people.
When do you think you started to feel like this was home?
Like I said, immediately. Even before I set up my stuff, like when I am among some people, Sudanese people, even I don't know them, they don't know me, they welcome you to the extent that they are, you know, just coming and help you, you know, maybe download your stuff, and their wives are preparing their food, and immediately I, you know, felt connection. That was the first thing. The second stage, maybe when I get a job working like for security, company, and then when I joined the school back in 2004, and just like less than 1 year after I came in here, and my wife did so too, and when I get two more kids born here, so that was, I felt that, okay, now I'm having roots.
What has been the hardest part of moving here, of finding a home in Iowa City? Because you've talked a lot about the Sudanese community, but that's still a pretty small part of Iowa City.
I can tell you I have never heard, never experienced it or heard about like negative or like bad incidents or situations or like discrimination issues.
We do know that those things sometimes do happen. I've heard of a few incidents in Iowa City too. So, but I'm glad your family hasn't had that experience, and I'm glad you feel welcome.
Yeah, I should add that. Yes, there was, I forgot to mention that, like a few years ago, there was an incident or two. But when I was talking first about it, even I didn't think about it. So this is just exception. So the general situation is just very positive. The community is very welcoming, and we couldn't be more appreciative of that. Yeah.
Shahabuddin, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Shahabuddin Ali lives in Iowa City. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. We've already learned this week that Iowa businesses are very active in recruiting workers from immigrant communities. That's how Carla Alvarez Ledesma wound up in Iowa. Her family is originally from Mexico, but 30 years ago they were living in California when IBP, Iowa Beef Processors, now known as Tyson Fresh Meats, was recruiting, and the family moved to Iowa. Carla is with me on the phone. Hi, Carla.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Thank you so much for talking with me. And let's go way back in time, 30 years ago. You were 13 years old when you moved to Iowa. What do you remember from that time, your first impressions?
So we moved from California, from the San Diego area to Iowa, to Columbus Junction. So I remember the whole trip because we drove from California to Iowa. So that took us about 3 days.
When you came to Iowa, your family came for the work. How many members of your family were working with IBP at the time?
So, yes, my family got recruited to work for IBP. So when we came, my father and my two brothers and my oldest sister were the ones that had a contract. So my other sister, that is 2 years older than me, and I, we were going to school.
What was it like to go to school? Was there much of a Latino community in Columbus Junction at the time?
So first we moved to Wayland, Iowa, which is a white, very white town. So my sister and I, we were the only two Latinos in the whole school. So the school hired an English ESL teacher, English language teacher. So we will get a special classes for us. Because at that time we didn't speak English. So it wasn't until a couple of months later that we moved to Columbus Junction.
Wow. So you were the only two ESL students in that whole school?
Yes.
What was that like?
I remember because we had we didn't have the lunch together because, like I said, my sister is 2 years older than me. So I was in middle school and she was already in high school. So our lunches were not at the same time. So I was always, alone without talking any Spanish the whole day. And my sister, she was 2 years older than me, but she was in a different lunch hour than me.
Wow, that must have been lonely.
Yes, it was.
So in Columbus Junction, what was that like?
So when we moved to Columbus Junction, there was the Latino community was growing, and so there we already had some families that we knew, and there was more Latino students in the school district, and they already had an established ESL program at that time.
Your family came for the work, and you weren't really planning on staying, at least not more than a couple of years. It's 30 years later, and you're still here. What changed?
So we got very used to the lifestyle that we had in Columbus Junction. And then my sister and I, we were in school, in high school. We graduated from Columbus Community Schools. And then I decided to continue my education. So it was those opportunities that we saw in education, and that's why my family decided to stay. And yes, 30 years later, we're still here.
Does Iowa feel like home to you?
Yes, it does. Especially now that I'm older, and whenever I travel internationally, whenever I go and visit Mexico, or I have traveled to India as well. So after a couple of weeks, I get homesick. So I want to come back to Iowa, and this is what I consider my home.
Do you remember when that changed, when Iowa started feeling like home to you?
It was probably in high school. As I grew older and I acquired more of the language basics, and I can communicate with other people, and then also being with other families and also going to church, because at that time my family is Catholic. So at that time we had a bilingual mass, and I was the translator for the priest. So being in that church and that community that we knew, at that point it really began to feel like home.
In today's political climate, of course, we hear a lot of people saying really negative things about immigrants. Have you felt uncomfortable because of that in our Iowa communities?
Yes, it has happened to me a couple of times, especially whenever I'm speaking Spanish with other colleagues or other friends. I see the stares of people. And then also finding, you know, like the white supremacy cards over at the library, or hearing about the posters or the flyers throughout downtown Iowa City. So I see that more of the Latino community is being more looked down upon, especially by the political climate and the administration.
You have worked hard to create community in Iowa. You are also the founder of the first Spanish language book club that you know about in Iowa?
Yes. So we've been in existence for the past 7 years. We are reading book number 73 for the month of October. So we have members from the Iowa City community, the university community. They travel from like Davenport or Cedar Rapids or other small towns to come to the book club.
Carla, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
Carla Alvarez Ledesma lives in Iowa City. It was Love and Land that drew Alfonso Valenzuela Gomosio to Iowa. He's originally from Chile, but lived near San Francisco for 27 years before deciding to move to Iowa. And now, as a realtor, he spends a lot of time helping other people make their Iowa dreams come true. Hello, Alfonso.
Hello, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here. And you moved to Iowa in December of 2017. Your husband is originally from Iowa, but this was not a move that you were thinking about making, at least not for a long time. So tell me what made you decide to move to Iowa.
Well, was a suggestion from my husband. We wanted to be closer to his family. He originally grew up in Mondrian, Ferrara area. In 2017, we came on vacation. And we were kind of basically scouting the area to find a place that we can live. And he wanted to test me if I could live here. Because my last trip to Iowa was for my father-in-law's funeral 10 years ago. And we did a lot of sightseeing, you know, farmer's market. And that basically sold it for me. I thought it was like something is happening here since last time I visited. So we started looking at property, and the rest is history.
And you wanted to be able to live in the country, to buy some land, right?
That's right. We started looking for properties. One of the ideas, he grew up in a farm, in a beef farm up in the Ferrara area, and he wanted to have land we can do something with it in the future. And we started kind of looking in the south side of Des Moines because there's less amount of, you know, movement from the city to this area. So we found this little piece of land in the Carlisle area.
So you moved to the country outside of Carlisle, and that's not quite as cosmopolitan as Des Moines. Do you find all the things that you were hoping to find within this area?
I have to tell you, we found so much that we wanted. We wanted to have a view of fields, which we have. We ended up being striking super lucky. We have fabulous neighbors on the farm across the road, super welcoming. They embrace us as the new neighbors. And even though a lot of the talk of the town, it was these two guys, they moved to the Bay Area. What are they going to do here? You know, it was kind of funny to find out what people in town thought that what we're doing in this kind of house is kind of famous in town.
Everybody so knows your story, yeah.
You start making friends very fast, and, you know, you go to town to have a beer and one of the local restaurants, and you start meeting more and more people. And the welcoming was very, very nice. We are really excited to be here.
Now, you haven't lived here very long, although you have certainly built your family, not only two corgis, but 10 sheep, two llamas, 47 chickens. So you're definitely settled. When did it start to feel like home to you?
Actually, I have to tell you, I lived here for 6 months by myself. And from the moment I was living alone, because Douglas was still finished his last job in California, I started going to town and just sitting at the bar and talking to the people right next to me over a dinner. And I started feeling like the sense of community right away because people were very engaging. And, you know, I was kind of afraid to say, because they say, well, so when is your wife moving in? And it's like, well, I don't have really a wife. I have a husband and two dogs. and they're still in California, and probably at the end of May when I go there to sell our house, come back as a whole family, as a nucleus, we're going to move here. So in the meanwhile, all these people are kind of like, okay, this is great. They will invite me out of the blue to the events at their home. You know, you don't do that in big cities. So I was very surprised about that. And then you start getting all, what are these people? They just met me and they invite me to their home. And I go to these parties and I meet all these extra super nice people. So it was awesome. And I start feeling like, you know, they make you part of, you know, the town that you belong here. And I guess if you see me, people would not think much about that I'm not from here until you hear me talk. And you hear the accent, and probably they start the conversation. Where are you from originally? So that's
so
how the story
went. You feel at home, and you and your husband have found your dream acreage. I'm so happy that you've found a home here. Alfonso, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for the interview. I appreciate it.
Alfonso Valenzuela Gamosio lives in Carlisle. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th. Spectators can find event info such as start times, race routes, and where to watch, as well as volunteer opportunities at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Iowa Week, and all week we've been exploring the question, is this home? Today, I'm talking to people who've come to Iowa from somewhere else in the country or somewhere else in the world. Many have found a home here, but for some, Iowa is just a place to live. For Destiny Gui, that's the way it feels. She moved to Iowa from Southern California just before she turned 14, just in time to start high school. She is now a third-year medical student at the University of Iowa, and we are meeting today at the Medical and Educational Research Facility on the University of Iowa Medical Campus. Why did you ask us to meet you here?
Well, as the med students call this building, we call it MRF, instead of the long name that you just said. And it's the building where I spend most of my time outside of the hospital. It's where the communities are housed and the place I feel most comfortable on campus.
Well, let's go inside and you can show us around a little bit.
Okay, sounds good. So now we're coming into the MRF atrium. A lot of students will study out here if they're okay with studying in an open space. The Prem Sahai auditorium is where, during first year, we had most of our lectures. So spent a lot of time in that room during the first year. Now we're walking down the hallway towards the communities. So we have four communities here at Iowa. First, we're gonna stop by Bean.
Kind of like a lobby area. You've got couches, you've got cubbies, painting on the windows. All right, and why would you come here? What brings students here?
I used to come here between classes, so we get like 10-minute breaks between lectures. It's kind of a nice place when you want to study with other people.
Destiny, you moved to Iowa when you were 14 years old. Tell me, from Southern California, tell me what was going on in your life that prompted that move.
So my mother grew up in Iowa. She has two sisters who still live in Iowa City. And when my parents split, we were still living in California. So she was raising three children. I'm the eldest. And she decided that she wanted to be closer to her sisters and also, not only for the support, but also it's so expensive to live in California, being a single mother. And, there's a lot of time spent like commuting in California that you don't like realize doesn't exist here. Yeah.
You moved to Iowa City right before you started high school. Mm-hmm. So you were turning 14, mm-hmm. basically as you were moving here, which is such an incredibly hard time of life anyway. Mm-hmm. So what were your feelings about coming to Iowa City then?
I was definitely really sad when I remember after eighth grade graduation, like being in the car and like crying because I knew I was not gonna be going to high school with all the people that I knew there. And I just, yeah, I didn't really know what to expect coming to Iowa. I have been here before because my aunt lives here, and I used to visit her a lot. But yeah, 14 is a hard age no matter where you're going.
You have said that Iowa really has never felt like home to you. Tell me about your experiences in high school. I mean, what made it not feel like home?
I think, well, one of the things I feel like when people live in Iowa, they like stay in Iowa. So a lot of the people that I met in high school had grown up together, their parents grew up together. And so I just never really felt like I had like a deep connection to anyone. I mean, there are a couple people that I, that were good friends. It's not that I didn't have any friends, but that was one thing.
So that made you feel like an outsider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit of that. And then also, I think all of the, well, I guess it might be different now, but basically all the people of color went to West High and I went to City High. And so people would tell me like I'm the token Asian and stuff like that, which is like, you know, not an unkind thing to say necessarily, but like you're always aware of how other people view you, I feel like.
A lot of people like to think of Iowa City as a very cosmopolitan and welcoming place. That doesn't sound like your experience.
I think it depends on what community you're in. When I'm here on campus in the medical school, I do feel safe and comfortable. And I think that like such a diverse population makes up the medical community compared to the general population in Iowa City. And people in Iowa are like very nice. But yeah, I think there are just small things every day that I think people don't realize, but that remind you that you don't belong, that you're different.
You continued to feel this way. You became a student at the University of Iowa, so it's staying in Iowa City, mm-hmm. and you continued to feel that way at the University of Iowa. Can you give us an example of some of those little things, the way that you felt like people were reminding you that you were an outsider?
Some like bigger things are like, I remember when I was a freshman, I was riding on the CAM bus and this man across the hall, or what is it, the row from me, told me that I should go back to where I came from. And at the time I was very confused because I was like, how did he know I'm from California? But then it didn't take me too long to figure out what he actually meant.
Having those experiences, I mean, for people who live in Iowa City who haven't had those experiences, people are going to be surprised to hear that. Mm-hmm. Is that hard to have people say, oh, that doesn't happen here?
Yeah, absolutely. It is really frustrating. And why I like to share my experiences, not to like whine about them, but so that people realize that this happens to even somebody that they know or care about. Because I think that even if you did witness some of the smaller things, you might not think that might be hurtful. And so, yeah, I think when it doesn't happen to you, you're just less aware.
You did spend a year in Taiwan on a Fulbright scholarship. How did that feel? You obviously got to be far from the place where you grew up, mm-hmm. having a brand new experience, but also that was the first time you were living in a place that was majority Asian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think I really realized how much it affected me until maybe more than halfway through my year. As I was thinking about coming back, I started, I had a lot of anxiety about coming back, not just because medical school is a whole new experience that would be a challenge in itself, but also realizing that I had become really comfortable living in this place where I'm not even Taiwanese, Mandarin's not my first language, but like I felt comfortable there and I didn't feel like I was an outsider for bad reasons. So yeah, I had a lot of anxiety coming back, not realizing that I had become so comfortable in this community.
Now you're in medical school, you're in your third year of medical school, and just walking through the halls with you, obviously this is a place that you have a lot of affection for. We were running into friends, everybody's waving. Do you feel at home here?
For the most part, I do feel really comfortable here in Murph and with my classmates and faculty. Yeah, I don't really feel... I do feel comfortable here when I'm on campus. It's more when I'm out in the community or interacting with patients. Yeah.
What's the most important thing you want people who have never had experiences like this to know?
Well, one thing that I have talked to my friends about is that if you see or hear something like really egregious going on around you, to maybe step in and say something. Because I think in the moment when, at least for myself, when somebody's saying something to me, I kind of freeze. And it would be really nice for somebody to kind of call them out on their behavior, I think, especially if that person is maybe more relatable to the person that's saying an unkind thing, if that makes sense. And then the other thing I think is I want people to realize that, like, even the small things, when they happen on a daily basis, can get really exhausting as well.
Destiny, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us.
Thanks for having me.
Destiny Gui is a medical student at the University of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Iowa Week, and all week long we've been exploring the question, is this home? Today I'm talking with Iowans who've come here from somewhere else. Not all of them have found the security of home, that sense of belonging, but Jim Kopic has. He lives in Ames with his two sons, where he's very active in music, poetry, theater, and community building, but he's not from here originally. Hello, Jim.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. So now you moved to Charles City back in 1992. You were 16 years old and not particularly excited about starting another high school. Tell me what was going on in your life back then.
All right. So it was my third high school, and I had never actually lived anywhere for very long. I had been thrown out of one high school, so I was feeling, you know, a little bit discombobulated. And I wasn't really able to, you know, claim myself, to figure out who I was and where I fit in the scheme of things. And then I came to yet another school. I think it was something like my fifth in 5 years.
Wow.
And what I expected was what I had been getting. What
right.
I expected was to show up to a place, have some nice people, some not nice people, not really fit, and then move on pretty soon. But as it turns out, that's not what I found.
So here you were, a 16-year-old, not excited to be there, marking time until you turned 18 and could be free, whatever that means. But something changed dramatically in your seventh period class. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I can even mark the moment that my perception of Iowa changed. There's this amazing teacher. She's retired now, but she's still pretty active in Charles City. Her name is Linda Brandt, and she spent decades building this inclusive, welcoming, warm, loving, supportive culture around speech and theater. And so I went to her class, and, you know, I'd been to quite a few classes that I wasn't as interested in before that. I had never taken a speech class or a theater class before. I'd been in one play in, like, junior high. And I showed up, and just the energy was different. The air was different. Everyone was excited to be there. I walked in, and I still remember everyone who was in that class, and they were digging through scripts, looking for cool scenes to do. She sort of brought us to order, and she started, I mean, by the end of the first class, you know, I was up doing a reading and getting just as excited as the other people were. And I walked out of that class with friends that I didn't have before, who now, however many years later, 28 years later, are still among some of my closest friends.
So you really found your home
in that creative environment? Not necessarily at that point in Iowa, but just the idea of being on the stage or being with other creative people?
Yeah, and I think there's something about the way we do it in small town Iowa, because I've tried it elsewhere and it's not as fun sometimes. But yeah, I found my home first in theater doing musicals, and then I moved into the competitive speech stuff. I loved choral readings. I loved reader's theater. I loved improv. And eventually I started writing songs. I wasn't great at that, but I ended up taking those lyrics, turning them into poetry. I made a career out of it. And I made a career out of it here in the middle of Iowa.
You did end up leaving the state of Iowa. You went into the Army. You lived mm-hmm. in New York. Mm-hmm. What brought you back?
Cheap living. So I went to New York to be an actor. And I wasn't very good at it. I made it as a comedian. I did all right out there, and playing guitar, I did all right out there, and doing all sorts of other things. But as an actor, I never got a call back. So after a while, I decided I wanted to go to college and I wanted to figure out the next step. And I knew that I couldn't do it where I was, because I was barely able to afford New York without adding in school. So I came back. And I moved to Mason City, and I chose NIAC first. That's their slogan. Northern Iowa Area Community College. Found more amazing people there, and kept on moving. I went to Buena Vista University, they called it, a college that mispronounces itself.
Right.
Got a psychology degree, which is part of my current day job. Got an English degree. Went to Iowa State for a master's, started a theater group that's still going, Searching for Shakespeare, started a poetry slam that's 19 years in running, and ended up just loving my life.
Do you remember, was there a moment when you realized that living in Iowa was not just about the cheap cost of living, when you realized that it was part of who you wanted to be?
Well, I missed it when I was in New York, and that was the first time I had ever really missed a place, because I had never been anywhere for very long, and I'd never made connections as deep. But I think it was Ames where I really felt like there was something different about the place that I was in, because it didn't matter where I turned. If I wanted to do some theater stuff, I could be on the board of the community theater and start a Shakespeare group. If I wanted to do poetry, I could start a slam. And everything that I wanted to do was supported. The culture around the arts here in Ames is such that from bottom to top, everybody pulls together, and everybody supports each other. And I don't know what caused that. Like, I've thought a lot, is it because there are so few of us we have to band together, or is it intentional community building, or is it just a function of Iowa Nice? I don't know the roots of it, but I do know that it's real and it's here and it's sustainable. It's been going on as long as I've been in Iowa, and I haven't found it anywhere else that I've been.
That 16-year-old boy could never have imagined this, could he?
That 16-year-old boy had no idea what to imagine, but I am really glad that it turned out the way it did.
Jim, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Jim Kopik lives in Ames. This has been Iowa Week. If you missed any of our shows this week, you can find them at iowapublicradio.org or on the Talk of Iowa podcast. Our show is produced by Caitlin Harrop, Dennis Reese, Rick Brewer, Matt Alvarez, and Catherine Perkins. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa. And I've never